Hi, everybody, and welcome to our second Think About It Thursday. I'm super excited about the topic we're going to be talking about today. Just quick introductions. It's myself, Elizabeth Delahousie. I'm Corporate Compliance and the Chief Privacy Officer for Datavant, and my partner in crime, Amy Durlink. Amy, you want to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hello, everyone. I'm Amy Durlink, Director of Compliance and Privacy for Datavant.
And then we got a third partner in crime that's on the call with us today, and it's Jeff. And Jeff, I'm actually going to let you introduce yourself because, like, I wrote the title down, but I think you did such credit to it when you gave it to me.
Well, thanks. So great to be here. I'm partnerships lead, patient request. So what that means is I basically keep our implementers happy, make sure our engineer, have what they need. And just in general, make sure that we're staying up to date when it comes to the market and when it comes to kind of what's best in class out there.
So, Jeff, so just to quickly start it off, you know, we're going to talk a lot about patients and them having access to their information. As you know, that's a huge initiative for Datavant. It's one of the things that I really love about this organization is empowering patients so they really have control over their healthcare. And you have your hands quite a bit in that with the patient platform we have where patients can go and ask for their own information. But I'm sure you hear this a lot. Right. It's that whole electronic way of doing things. So I just wanted your input on this, like the difference between the manual and electronic process. I think it scares people. What would you say to them about that?
Yeah. So a couple of things. You know, we have been doing this since 2018, and we've actually seen a seismic shift in the responses we've gotten. You know, at first it was a lot of, well, we can't accept this electronically, you know, this is it opens the door to too much fraud and sorry, you know, there's no way we can get anything but a wet signature on an authorization form, otherwise, you know, we're just too scared. And I gave a talk at the ONC conference, I believe in 2019, and there's a line in the law that basically says you may accept an electronic signature. And what I was trying to get people to change it to is must, but may is still like good enough to, you know, at least say that you may, you know, it is within your, you know, right still to say, hey, we're not going to. But the amazing shift we've seen is that as more and more people go online, and especially, you know, COVID definitely accelerated this, as it accelerated a lot of other kind of online tools and shifts to doing things online. You know, now I would say it's the norm to accept some sort of an electronic signature. Although we still see so many health systems kind of saying, hey, print this, mail this, fax this, scan this. And so, you know, what I will say is there are a couple differences, between getting it electronically and getting it, you know, the old analog way in terms of compliance. But the main one is that electronically is better in terms of you can get a two-factor authenticated phone number, you can get a photo ID, you can do all kinds of checks on their IP address and their email, that kind of stuff. So it basically opens the door to be able to do a lot of other cool checks that you can't really do on a piece of paper that you're holding in your hand.
Yeah, and you helped Amy and I's world quite a bit because we have to deal with OCRs, patient right of access, and we're always talking about the whole barrier piece. And we can't be a barrier to the patient in them getting access to their information. And I know, and it wasn't that long ago, and I want to say it was probably about 2018, where we had, you know, there are some providers out there that were still requiring the patients to either come in and physically sign the authorization in front of them, or go to somewhere and have that authorization notarized. And I can imagine when the patients are filing complaints about that, how frustrating that is to the Office of Civil Rights.
Oh, completely. Yeah. It's
and I mean, yeah. I was going to say, and with the pandemic, I mean, I think we saw a greater need for this type of technology than ever. Patients still needed information even more than ever with being sick and the flow of information for themselves. And it's just a great tool and a great ability to give patients that control of their information and where they want it flowing to.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, just I think that's a great point because bringing it back to the patient, right? The other thing that happened during COVID is First of all, everyone develops staffing issues. And second of all, sort of as a result, but also because the population was just sort of in general upheaval, patient satisfaction scores took a real dive. And so, you know, that's the other thing now when a patient just gets done signing their mortgage documents on their phone and filing their taxes on the phone, and then you tell them to fax a document over to you, you know, to request your records, it's really a non-starter. And so, like many things, you know, it's also, I think, receiving a nice push from patients saying, you know, hey, time to join the 21st century.
And I know you got a lot of like really great reviews in having this tool out there. And of course, I told you this story when you and I were talking a couple of days ago. And just so everybody knows, I sat down with my, you know, 80-something-year-old, if I told the exact age, she'd probably just throw a fit, but Nana. And I was like, let's ask for your records on your phone. Now, she's super excited she has an iPhone. She was even more super excited when she figured out texting. Who knows what's going to happen when she figures out how to use memes. I mean, you know, all of our phones are going to blow up. But anyway, and so we sat there, and I just handed her phone. She went directly to the website. The only thing she had to do, she had stopped. She's like, I gotta go get my driver's license. She went and got her driver's license. She, you know, she did all that upload, and then she turned around, she asked for her records. And she looked at me, and she was so proud of herself, right? She's like, I just asked for my medical records online. And she's like, this was the easiest thing I've ever done. And I thought, man, that says a lot. When you have an 80-something-year-old patient who's able to get their information in such an easy way, because she's not able to get in and out, you know, like most of us, as far as I'm going to jump in the car and we'll drive down the street. And I think she gets a little flustered sometimes when she gets on the phone, not knowing exactly what to ask for. Whereas when she had it in a menu, she could read the menu and go, okay, I'm going to pick it. Okay, this is what I want. So, you know, if it's approved by Nana, it's got to be an incredible platform, right?
Yeah, and we all have that person in our lives, right? I mean, we definitely, like, maybe we didn't tell them when we were testing them as a user, you know, at first, hey, this is why we're approaching you. But yeah, you know, like health tech especially, right? I mean, who is the population who's getting the majority of healthcare in the U.S.? It's, you know, the elderly population. It just makes sense. So, you know, when you build health tech, you have to build it with non-tech savvy elderly, which obviously is not the same thing, you know, people in mind. And, you know, usually what I do, if it ever comes up, you know, on a call, is I just share my screen and show, hey, you know, this is feedback that we got 5 hours ago, 1 minute ago, whatever it is, you know, just doing a search in my email for old or elderly or mature, you know, everything.
Make sure you use that mature word in there, okay?
Yeah, and I just did that here, and from Valley Health System in New Jersey, somebody wrote, best possible and easiest to use, even for me, comma, an old man, and it was 3 hours ago. So it's, you know, at this point, we're getting this feedback, you know, when we're cranking on a weekday, like someone leaves feedback on the tool every 45 seconds. Now, a lot of it is just, was this easy to use? Yes, no, you know, they don't actually leave long form feedback, but about half of it, they leave a long comment like that, and it's 95% positive.
So we see
all kinds of stuff now.
I think the other positive thing is that prior to this, we did rely on that wet signature. And, you know, I always talk to people about this, like, we're not handwriting experts, right? We weren't trained by the FBI or the CIA. But on top of that, our signatures are so different. Like, personally, with my last name, Delahousie, I don't want to write out Elizabeth A. Delahousie. So on a credit card slip, it's like literally just an E and A, and you might be able to see the D, maybe. But if it's a legal document, I'm going to take my time to write it. And then I think to myself, but if I'm getting ready to be discharged from a hospital, I guarantee you the signature I have on that discharge sheet, because I'm like, I want out. And the signature I have on a legal document may not always be the same. So you have that ID. What happens if you don't show an ID?
So we actually allow you to skip the ID, just in case there's an exception case, right? You know, this could be someone who is homeless, who's just using the library computer, say, and it doesn't have a webcam and they don't have a smartphone, so they have kind of no way to capture it, and they don't have it stored on the computer. There's all kinds of sort of edge cases you can think of. But even without requiring the ID, 99% of people submit their ID. It started at 97, and then we kind of tightened it up a little bit and, you know, enabled people to upload and kind of all these other things and got it up to 99. And so when somebody doesn't submit an ID, they still go through. They verify their phone number also 99% of the time. And then, although for that 1% population, I'm sure it's lower, but, you know, overall population, 99%. And then when they get to the end, they submit their request just as they would before, and it's up to the person fulfilling it to say, hey, you know, do we need more information from this person? Because legally you don't need those two things, but it's very, very helpful, obviously, from a compliance standpoint.
Right. It's not legally required, but, you know, that's a really good point that honestly, until just this moment you said that, didn't even think about that. Like, not everybody's going to have an ID on them. So you guys were really smart to think outside the box on that piece as to, hey, we got to take into consideration this population as well. And that's when the manual review occurs. So, well, Jeff, I appreciate your time so much on this, and really, I love this topic. I could actually do like a 2-hour think about it Thursday, but, you know, marketing only allowed me like 10 minutes. So, and so, you know, I hope everybody enjoyed this Thursday's Think About It Thursday, and we look forward to many, many more. And maybe you can join us back again, Jeff.
Yes, please. I'd love that.
All right.
Great to have you.
Great to have you.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, listeners.